It's time for Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now, let's have some fun. Here is your host, Johnny Radio. Johnny Radio.
Yo, welcome into a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio, hanging out with Brian Dacus all day long, and we are stacked. I'm excited today at 11:30. We have the one, the only, David Cobb. You know him from CBSSports.com. You can read his work there. You can follow him on Twitter, David W. Cobb, and you can listen to him right here in about 26 minutes because we're breaking down the Final Four. We'll talk about the Sweet 16 matches, the Elite Eight matches, the Final Four, break those games down. He's also an alum of the University of Tennessee. Going to ask him what he thinks Rick Barnes is going to do. How does he feel about his team? Hell of a run. I'm definitely going to get into him and ask him if he feels Zach Edey shot way too many damn free throws. Just him alone shot twice as many as Tennessee. And by the way, Zach Edey pitched a tent in the middle of the lane. Does David Cobb agree or disagree? We'll find out. I want to know what you think. Let me know. Hit me up at the Sissy's Log Cabin listener and text line, 901-360-8255. Life's too short for ordinary jewelry. And let me know what you thought about that women's basketball action last night. So Dacus yesterday, very surprised. Got off work. You know, we were talking about the Iron Claw. I was thinking to myself, you know, I got to watch a movie with Chas. Got to do something. So, you know, this is probably the night I'm going to do it. Did the whole gym thing. Come home. Get there. Get back to the crib, you know, like 6:30-ish, 7 o'clock. And guess what? Caitlin Clark and LSU were on.
That's right.
And my goodness, Caitlin Clark put on a show. Then it was followed by UConn and USC, the number one seed in their region against the 3 seed. I can't believe it. But Paige Becker's back. And she's awesome. And UConn's good. And they took care of USC. You know LSU got knocked out by Iowa. But watching that game, Chas actually was the one who wanted to watch. She's like, you know, the girls were. She's like, I thought we didn't have any basketball tonight. I'm like, no, this is the girls. Next thing you know, she started watching them. And, you know, being a normal woman, like an ordinary girl, you should have seen her face watching that Caitlin Clark girl. She's like, that's no way. It's like, she kept saying, is that really a girl? I was like, dude, I swear she is. And she was cold-blooded, and she had Haley Von Lith basically looking back at the dugout saying, what the bleep am I supposed to do? Same with Angel Reese. I'm serious as a heart attack. My goodness. These young women tore it up last night, and that Caitlin Clark girl is just ridiculous. She had 41 points, 12 assists, 7 boards. Iowa moves on 94-87 to the Final Four, and I actually can't believe I'm going to say this. I'm stoked. I'm ready to see a little bit of the women's Final Four action because I also bet yesterday on both games, and guess what? I'm telling you, I can read women, brother. 2-0.
Wow.
Like, man, what made me even think I wasn't going to go home and get down on that girls' basketball game? I don't even know. It was awesome. It was fun. But we are going to talk about the men's tournament a whole lot. We got to talk a little bit about some baseball. There were some interesting things happening in the world of baseball. Yes, baseball is happening. And baseball is happening today at 3:10, Twins and the Brewers. We're going to play some bets today. You'll get your final bets at the end of the show today around 12:50. We'll drop all those bad boys off for you. And, we got a very, very, very busy and exciting show. I got some good Hardenwood stories because it feels so good. And we're just going to have a whole lot of fun. I got to ask, though, a couple questions right now. Like Bryant Dacus. Wolo reminded me, we got this thing, the eclipse happening.
That's right. Next Monday, I think.
Isn't it a week? It's a week from yesterday.
I believe so. Don't quote me on that.
Is it the 8th?
I think so.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's April 8th.
So that would be next Monday.
The eclipse. Now, my question, about the eclipse. You know, they say that there's also going to be like the cicadas are coming out or something.
That's right. This summer is the summer of the cicadas. Two different types of cicadas are going to come out. And so it could be a very loud summer.
Hadn't happened like since the 80s. Now it's going to be spring, man. This is about to happen.
Right. Well, they're coming out. I've heard they're coming out like in the spring, but they're going to stay during the summer. Like, you know, you always hear cicadas in the middle of summer. So they start emerging in the spring, but then you really hear them in the summer.
All right.
That's my cicada fact of the day.
Well, it's happening on April 8th. Is the world ending, as some people on TikTok saying?
Maybe.
I doubt it. We've had a lot of those things. I saw a great conspiracy on the TikTok and the X that the New Madrid fault line is going to have an earthquake.
Mm.
And you weren't alive when they actually let us out of school because some dude predicted that the earthquake was going to happen. And, like, they even let us out of school. They were like, man, everybody stayed home. Like, people believe this guy. And I don't even understand why.
How about that?
But, again, this was way back when. This was, like, late 80s, early 90s. We were a little more gullible back then. But we got a lot of stuff to talk about, and I'm fired up. There was some NBA action as well. We'll probably talk a little bit about that. We have Zach Boyd today at 12 o'clock, so we'll break down what's going down with the Grizzlies. Can you believe it? The Grizzlies actually won.
It was a fun game.
It was against Detroit.
That's right.
And the Pistons are absolutely terrible. They but are. Cade Cunningham looked amazing.
Good player.
Dude, don't joke. But, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr. did his best to pull a Caitlin Clark. He had 40 points.
Mm-hmm.
7 boards, 3 steals, look pretty nasty. And, yeah, we have a whole lot of fun things to get into. Yesterday I did want to ask you, did you see the April Fool's thing that was going around about Jared Goff?
Jared Goff. I don't think so, no.
Man, I'm sitting here in the middle of the afternoon and across the, like, you know, one of my news feeds, it comes up, Jared Goff's been traded for the number 2 pick to the Washington Commanders. And it was a long, long article that I read through.
Really? Wow.
And I'm like looking at all the stuff that's going through. And at the very end, it says, man, remember what today is, April Fool's.
That's too bad.
I wasted a good 3 minutes of my life.
I saw something. I guess it was up. We were up here yesterday afternoon doing the afternoon show. And during a break, Johnny was like, oh my gosh, Justin Jefferson just got traded. And I go, no, he didn't. And he, like, showed me this tweet that was, like, from, I forgot which insider it said it was from, maybe Schefter. And it was, like, you know, it was this whole, like, graphic that looked like, you know, breaking news, official, yada, yada, yada. But then if you looked real closely at the handle of the Adam Schefter, it was not Adam Schefter's Twitter. And I was like, hey, buddy. It's April Fool's Day. They got you. And he's like, oh, man, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, I got –
got to be on your toes on April 1st, John.
Yeah, it was a little bit painful. A couple of those April Fool's things got me on the internet, wacky damn internet. You know how it is. Now, also, you know I gave a bet yesterday.
You did.
Braves minus what?
Oh, 1.5. Did yours win or did they void it?
No, -2.5.
Oh, -2.5. I'm sorry. Did they void it or did
final
you?
Final 8 innings? Nope.
Wow.
Did you?
I parlayed the.
Yeah, 1.5. No, I went -2.5.
Yeah. Well, 1.5 didn't win either, but I parlayed
wait,
the
what,
money
why
line.
Why didn't it win?
Because.
The 8 innings BS?
Right.
What'd you use?
Money line.
No, what app?
DraftKings. Any money line would have worked. But I just went money line, and then I parlayed with Texas Tech, who played last night. A thriller went like 11 innings, and I just parlayed those together, and it won because they.
Are
they
you
won
talking
the
about
game.
The NIT?
No, college baseball.
Oh, okay. Did Texas Tech take care of business?
In 11 innings. Yeah, it was scary, but yes, they won.
Well, I don't know if you know this. The Braves are absolutely smoking it. They won 9-0 against the White Sox. I told you that the White Sox were absolutely terrible. And now, to open up the season in 4 games, that Atlanta offense has scored 34 freaking runs. Do you know that?
Wow, that's crazy.
Bro.
Would have been more if they had finished the game. Maybe.
But they've scored 34 runs in 4 games. And that's with Matt Olson not hitting yet. I know it's only 4 games, by the way, and I know we get a little bit excited. But damn, bro, the Braves have scored 34 runs. But guess what? You won't even believe this if I told you it. Pittsburgh scored more than them.
Pittsburgh might win the World Series.
They've scored 39 runs and are 5-0.
Crazy.
Watch out, Pittsburgh. People are coming in. The Dodgers are doing what they're supposed to, but they have played 7 games, more games than everybody else. And again, also Pittsburgh has one more game in Atlanta. But the Dodgers, 5-2, they've scored 47 runs. Some hitting machines out there. Also, the Diamondbacks have scored 34. They're hitting the hell out of the baseball. So, interesting things going on around Major League Baseball. I'm also kind of surprised to see that the Astros didn't just win yesterday. Do you remember how the Astros started the season getting swept by the Yankees?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know they finally got off the schneid?
With a no-hitter last night.
Dude, how crazy is that?
It was wild. I watched, I think I tuned in the second inning. It was
against,
great.
This is not a no-hitter against, like, the Oakland Athletics. You know what I mean? This is the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah.
And Ronel Blanco, who's, you know, I mean, you know who he is. He's not somebody that I would consider by any means even, like, this dude's probably made, what, a year's worth of starts?
That was his 8th start.
That's it?
Uh-huh. He wasn't supposed to be on the roster. They have injuries. He wasn't even supposed to be. He made the roster on the last day of the season. The Astros had an exhibition, a spring training exhibition against the Sugar Land.
They were talking about him a whole lot on MLB Network.
Oh, of course. They had an exhibition against a AAA team and a AAA roster. He pitched it. That same day of that outing, he got a call, I guess, like towards the end of the game, that his wife had gone into labor.
Yeah, and
he
just had a little
second
baby.
And then he got the call the next day saying he was going to be on the opening day roster. And goes out there first start of the season, only 105 pitches, no hitter. It was crazy.
That's insane. Like, that is so almost like, I mean, could you imagine, like, is the guy not floating on air right now?
Gotta be.
You just had a new, beautiful baby girl, healthy baby girl.
Mm-hmm.
You go out there, you get called up to the big club, you've made only, that's your 8th start, you played last year, little bit of, you got MLB Network talking about some special things about you, and think that you could do something for the club, and then all of a sudden, one thing especially because the Astros need a little bit of work with Justin Verlander out for so long for the Houston Astros, they need somebody to step in. Well, dude, he stepped in and just took care of business. I mean, you got George Springer, they got freaking, of course, Vlad Guerrero Jr. over there. That's impressive. And he only had 7 strikeouts, too. 2 walks, 105 pitches. Congratulations, big fella. I don't know how long. It's going to be a while before that dude's feet touch the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Just walking on air. Oh, I know baseball, to some, is not your favorite sport in the world to talk about. But I know you like to get a little bit into certain things and some controversies and kind of, you know, curious with what some people are wondering. It's only been the first weekend. It's only been a few instances. But what do you think about the shortstop or second baseman being in front of the bag when somebody steals second base?
I mean, you know, whatever.
It's not making you nuts like it's making me?
No, not really.
It's not – okay, this is – I don't mind the pitch clock. I don't mind the timing, but this isn't baseball. You know how you get somebody out from camping in front of the bag? Like, you know, you just slide right into them.
Mm-hmm.
You put your cleat into them, and guess what? They're not going to do it again. That's called baseball. When I see people who are thrown out by 4 steps, basically, and because they're standing in – like, the one that happened with Francisco and Lindor was probably the worst in spring training. But yesterday, I'm sitting there watching. My man steals. He is gunned. Catcher just comes up, pops up. Great throw. Wham, bam, thank you, man. Puts down the tag. And because his knee was about 6 inches into this now bigger bag, they called him safe. But no, he's out. And if you're a pitcher, does that not absolutely make you crazy?
Oh, I'm sure it does.
I mean, just – and as a fan watching the game, that makes me absolutely nuts. I'm sorry. This is driving me bananas. I just wonder what y'all think. Hit me up at the Sissy's Law Cabin text and listener line, 901-360-8255. Life's too short for ordinary jewelry. Now, this Pittsburgh Pirates team, I'm kind of curious. You think they're for real?
Define for real.
Well, they do play in the worst division in baseball, exactly. The NL Central.
Yeah.
And if you can compete in the NL Central, you make the playoffs. That's what I mean by real.
Oh, then sure, yeah.
I'm not sitting there saying they're going to compete with the upper echelons, the Braves, the Diamondbacks, the Dodgers, but they can make a run with Cincinnati and Chicago.
Oh, absolutely.
And damn it, they can hit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they got a bunch of young dudes. My man, the big old 6'7" shortstop, O'Neill Cruz,
mm-hmm.
He's back hitting. He's healthy this year. But he's not like they're – he's a good bat, and he's a great young talent. But, man, Ke'Bryan Hayes is just ripping the cover off the baseball. Like, ripping the damn cover off the baseball. They've got so much youth over there, but they got so many – first, second round draft picks that are coming up here and playing. You got a veteran, an Andrew McCutchen, who actually cares about the Pirates, who's kind of leading these young bucks. They got some really good things going on over there. I know. I don't know. I might be crazy. They don't pay much. They don't. You know, they're not out there doing their thing. But man, after the end of this year, I'm sure a bunch of the big money teams are going to come poach a lot of their talent because they're freaking unbelievable. Yankees are still winning, but by the way, what do you think? Yankees and Orioles, is this their division, or are the Blue Jays going to be able to kind of compete up there with them?
I mean, it feels like it's those two. The Orioles had to win a wild one last night in extra innings. I like this Orioles team. As much as I don't like the Yankees, I like this Yankees team. So, yeah, I think it's theirs to lose.
Second worst division in baseball. The American League Central.
Mm-hmm.
The Tigers have played nobody.
Mm-hmm.
They played the White Sox and then they played the Mets. Played the Mets again today. And this Mets team, remember, they spent like $1 billion last year. What a bunch of wasted money.
Yeah.
That Mets team is terrible. But are the Tigers, are they going to be any good? It's too early to tell right now, but they've beaten the crummy teams they've played. But like I said, they've beaten the Mets, who are absolutely terrible. And then they smoked the White Sox, who – like, are Oakland and Chicago going to fight for the worst two teams in baseball?
I think so. But I don't trust this this Detroit Tigers team because, I mean, they really did not, like – I mean, what we saw Atlanta do, and I understand Atlanta is one of the best teams in all of baseball – but what we saw them do to the White Sox is not at all what the Tigers did. I mean, they only won all three of those games by combined 3 runs.
Mm-hmm.
Each game was a 1-run game, and so I don't trust this team. I think when they see other teams, now they get the benefit of the doubt. They get 2 more games against the Mets, and then go for a 3-game series against the Athletics. So it's pretty easy. But then they see Pittsburgh, the Twins, the Rangers. So it gets harder for them. I don't trust them at all.
What's happened to your Marlins team?
That would be your old producer.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
But
that's right.
Not,
that was.
They're not playing well. 0-5. It's pretty bad.
Like, I honestly don't know who's going to be worse this year: Miami, the Mets, or Washington. And that's kind of sad.
That's a good point.
Phillies are going to figure it out.
I think so.
I mean, it's early. They're 1-3. They've been playing terrible baseball. But I'm telling you, man, the Phillies are going to figure it out. Also, I got to tell you all right now, again, it's April 2nd. Like, every single day, we're just getting a little bit closer to 420. World Wing Fest it's happening. It's actually the World Championship Hot Wing Contest and Festival. You go to worldwingfest.com and you get your tickets. Again, the money goes to the Ronald McDonald House. It benefits the Ronald McDonald House of Charities of Memphis, which benefits the families and children of St. Jude. When these kids come across, come from all over the country, from all over the world to Memphis, Tennessee, so that they can get the treatment for their children from, cancer, because it's, St. Jude's take care of so many people. Well, they have families and people have to come here and stay. The Ronald McDonald provides these families a place to stay so that they can be with their loved one. so they can be with their child who definitely needs their family's care while they're going through their treatment. And you get to help the Ronald McDonald House. You get to help St. Jude by coming out on April 20th and having a damn good time. We're going to be at River Garden Park. That's downtown, basically right between Jefferson and Union. You'll be downtown. It's going to be beautiful. There's going to be two unbelievable tents set up. And stages. There's going to be two stages. Because on April 20, starting at 11 a.m., music's going to get being played. You got the RS Financial stage. You got Earl the Pearl at 11 a.m. The Memphis Funk Horns at 12:30. At 2 o'clock, they're going to get on RS Financial stage and have a wing-eating contest. You got Retilia 245, Elevation Memphis featuring the Tina Turner Reviews at 4:15. About 5:45, they're going to give away the awards and announce the winners of the World Wing Championship for 2024. You know who's going to be doing that, don't you?
Who's that?
Oh, that's going to be me, homie.
Oh, wow. How about that?
Oh, yeah.
MC.
I love doing it. I did last year. It was so much damn fun. Get a little Tito's in me. Get a little wings, party all day, listen to music, get a little wild with the microphone. There's some great names of these teams, by the way. Some unbelievable names. On the blue stage, you got Alexis Grace at 4:30. She used to work here. Remember the story about me leaving the toilet seat up?
Yeah, you're going to apologize to her?
You know, I don't think she listens to sports talk radio, so I doubt, I haven't admitted it ever.
But that's what I'm saying. This could be your opportunity. You know, you go up to her, hey.
It was me.
She's going to apologize for a long time ago. I don't know if you remember this.
Oh, she's going to remember it.
But it was me.
She's the nicest person in the world, but she wanted to kill somebody that day.
Well, so then she probably will remember
it. By the way, men, if you ever sneak into the women's restroom at your work and you are very kind and lift up the seat to pee, don't forget to put it down. Because women go into women's restrooms and don't ever expect the seat to be up. I heard that. I learned that. Hey, by the way, just, you know what? Life is about making mistakes and learning from them.
Bingo.
I learned something. I'm passing my knowledge on to y'all. Not only, though, we got the blue stage going on. Clarksdale is going to be on the blue stage. The World Wing Fest is going to be awesome. There's going to be over 60 teams competing for $10,000. There's a VIP tent you can be a part of. It's $150. All your food, all your alcohol, all your fun is right there provided for you. You got general admission. All you have to do is go again to worldwingfest.com. Get your tickets today. I'm giving away some tickets. I've been giving away tickets, but I will tell you, I forgot to bring the tickets today. I'm going to give them away. You just can't come get them today. You're going to have to come get them tomorrow. My bad.
Classic.
Yeah. Also, Matt, who won yesterday, don't come today. Come tomorrow because I forgot your tickets as well. It's kind of my fault. You know what happened?
Yeah, I think so. What happened?
I mistakenly had them in my clipboard.
Okay.
And I took my clipboard in, mm-hmm. and then I took them out of my clipboard to do a little bit of work, and I put them in the drawer, and damn it, man, I forgot.
Always that damn drawer, man.
But guess what? You don't have to wait for me. You don't have to wait to win tickets. All you have to do is go to worldwingfest.com. You can purchase your tickets right there, again, from $15 all the way to the $150 VIP. Get your tickets at the proceeds help St. Jude. Now, David Cobb's on the other side. It's time to get knee-deep in some hoops. Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
The only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
Now, back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio, hanging out with Brian Dacus all day long. Happy Tuesday out there. It's a little wet. It's a little wet. But you know what? Final Four is set. NC State-Purdue, first game on Saturday, 5 o'clock on the TBS, man. A little Final Four action. Right now, Purdue is an 8.5-point favorite over Alabama, and the total is 145. We got Alabama and UConn. That's going to be around 8 o'clock. Bama catching 11.5 against UConn, who looks unstoppable. But we're about to talk with David Cobb. He's been taking care of business all year long. You know, he covers college football and college basketball for CBSSports.com. You can read his work at CBSSports.com. You can follow him on Twitter at David W. Cobb. And David joins us now. What's up, DC?
Hey, man, not much. Just chilling, refueling, fun couple of weeks on the NCAA tournament travel circuit, but my road has come to an end. I won't be at the Final Four.
Oh, you're not going to Glendale?
Not going. It's not my year. So anyway,
it's all
I'll
right.
be watching from home. Yeah, had a good time in Detroit, had a good time in Memphis, was at the SEC tournament, but the madness has come to an end for me.
Well, you get to get a little bit of rest, maybe hang out with your wife a little bit, some things like that. Is that
yeah.
is that in the future?
Yeah, that's
maybe
actually
a little golf?
In the present.
Oh,
that's
nice.
Actually in the present. Well, not the golf, but the rest of it. Yeah.
I get that. I know you're itching to get out on that golf course, I'm sure.
Oh, man, you know it. Like, they're just the golf clubs are just sitting here just like, "Hey, we're ready. Like, you know, if you ever want to play with us, we're here, you know." It's kind of like when Andy grows up in Toy Story and he doesn't have time for Buzz Lightyear anymore. I think that's how my golf clubs feel during the NCAA tournament.
Oh, damn, man. That's almost sad.
I know.
Oh, man. All right. So now I got to get into what some of the action that we saw. I'm going to start all the way back at, you know, a little Sweet 16 action. And I'm just kind of wondering if you're with me on this, how lucky did basically NC State get because Shedd got injured and they got to play Duke again for like the third time this month?
Yeah, just incredible the way the NCAA tournament turns on the fortunes of a twisted ankle. I mean, we saw it firsthand in Memphis how special of a player Jamal Shedd is. I mean, Memphis fans have seen that for a few years now, and then the country has seen it as of late. And that injury has completely transformed this Final Four. I mean, it genuinely has, because if he's available for the majority of that game against Duke, then Houston beats Duke and
runs
Houston
out.
Beats NC State. Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's tough. That's brutal. On the other hand, though, because of that, we now have this unbelievable story with NC State, and that's the beauty and the horror of the NCAA tournament and the single elimination format is just how pivotal every moment is in every game. And yeah, now we get DJ Burns on the biggest stage in college basketball, man. Who would have thunk it?
Oh, man. And by the way, DJ Burns has been like a delight to figure out who this big fella is. He's been fun. I think it's hilarious. Have you seen all the GMs and the scouts and the NFL people talking about how, you know, he needs to come in here and work on about being a left tackle in the National Football
yeah.
League? I mean, they list him at 6'9", probably realistically like 6'7", 6'8". Light on his feet, man. You could see him pop out real quick. You know, today's, you know, defensive ends coming around the edge as fast as they are, as light as he is on his feet, man. I could see that dude making some money in the National Football League. But can the big boy stop the mountain of a man in Zach Edey in the Final Four? They're catching 8.5 currently.
No, I think the height differential is too significant because, I mean, DJ Burns is one of the few out there in college basketball who can literally go pound for pound with Zach Edey.
He's 50 pounds heavier than Zach, actually.
I mean, yeah, and then but the height differential there with Edey is significant, and
he's 8 inches sort of, shorter than Edey.
Yeah, the toll that it takes to try to get into position to defend him is monumental. I mean, it is a battle for every second of that shot clock to defend Zach Edey, and then you want that guy to go and be your offensive engine on the other end of the floor after he's exerted himself at the highest level to try and defend Zach Edey. I don't know that DJ Burns is going to be able to do that for 30-plus minutes. And they've been playing him almost every waking second as of late because he's just been so good offensively. And but I don't know if you can ask your offensive superstar to then go and defend Zach Edey for 30-plus minutes. You know, that's going to be a tall, tall task for NC State.
And then who do they throw? Because I look at the Wolfpack, and, you know, Diarra, I mean, he's just, you know, thin. Zach Edey would absolutely, Muhammad Diarra would get just absolutely worked. He is 6 feet 10 inches, but he's only about 210 pounds. I mean, Zach Edey's 100 pounds heavier than Diarra, plus he's taller. And I don't know who else you would put on him if you don't put the big fella DJ Burns.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's also Ben Middlebrooks for NC State. He's kind of a big man.
Danny Cannell's nephew.
Yeah, exactly. So that's an option. I mean, at least NC State has a couple of guys within the height realm of like, hey, we can at least throw you on him for a possession. We can throw you on him while DJ Burns gets a breather. Tennessee threw three different defenders at Zach Edey. None of them had very much success. It was actually the freshman, PJ Estrella, who was probably the most effective against Zach Edey. So if you're NC State, you're Kevin Keith, you want to have a shot in this game. I think to me the key is junking up the defense and it's
throwing everything at him.
It's giving Purdue different looks. It's going with a double team. It's going with a zone randomly for a possession or two. It's trying to extend the pressure full court where Purdue rarely got out of rhythm against Tennessee was when their guards saw open lanes to the basket and then they got out of sync with getting the ball to Edey. And it's like, if you can get those Purdue guards to think they're the ones who need to be scoring, then you got a shot. And the way to do that is to pressure them and sort of speed the tempo up. And so I think that's the only way to have a shot against Purdue is to junk up your defense, throw different looks at them, because if you're just going to let them feed the ball to Zach Edey on the left block without much resistance in that regard, like then you know he's going to do to you what he's done to most other teams this season.
The one thing though about NC State that I've noticed, they win in so many different ways. The way they beat Marquette compared to the way they, you know, won the game against Duke. Totally, I mean, they only hit three threes in Duke and still won by 12 points, shooting like 20%. I mean, that was kind of crazy. I mean, they are, you know, they will get in there and basically, you know, 2 point to death. You go down there with my man, or if you remember when they played Marquette, they hit 9 threes and shot almost 40%. And DJ Horn, the other DJ, I mean, he was making things happen. Hell, he had a huge three the other night against Duke, kind of just separate things.
Yeah, I mean, he's a huge key to NC State's success in this game because, you know, I really don't – I know Purdue has a great team defense, but I really don't think that Purdue has elite individual perimeter defenders.
No.
And so if you get a DJ Horn going on the perimeter – you know, that's going to help you a lot. I mean, obviously, Dalton Kinect went for 37 for Tennessee, and it still wasn't enough, you know. So,
well, nobody else for Tennessee helped him.
That's right. So if DJ Horn gets going and O'Connell is also there or Marcel has a decent game, then maybe you have a chance. It's just Purdue is so machine-like and ruthlessly efficient in the way they get Zach Edey his touches that you know they're going to, at minimum, average – you know, a point, 1.2 points per possession or something. And how do you counter that? You got to hit a lot of threes. You got to get to the free throw line somehow against a Purdue team that doesn't foul a whole lot or doesn't get called for a whole lot of fouls. So it's, I'm not, of the two games, I think I would give NC State a better chance against Purdue than I would Alabama against
but
UConn.
But you don't think that, you're leaning right now both favorites, aren't you?
I am, and I'm leaning both favorites against the spread.
That's what I'm talking about. When
you throw everything you got against the wall in a matchup like this, which is what you got to do if you're NC State or if you're Alabama, then you do run the risk of getting blown out. I mean, that is
true.
Within the realm of possibility. It's like in college football where, all right, are you going to try to slow the pace down, run the football more than usual, bleed the clock, go into anti-turnover mode, and just try to make it respectable, or are you going to try to empty the bag and go out and win a ball game? And sometimes when you do the latter, it gives you your best chance to win, but it also opens up the door for you to get blown out. And so, you know, Alabama and NC State, they're going to do what they do. They're going to empty the bag. They're going to go to what's worked for them this month. But, you know, the teams they're playing against have effective counters for that. And, you know, these are two games that could get out of hand. I mean, we'll see.
I think they could, and then we'd get the matchup. I think everybody wants to see, you know, Klingon and Edie and UConn, the beast that they are, against this Purdue team. That's what I'm believing. I think everybody wants to see for a good national championship. But I got to go back. Got to go back and actually talk to you about, again, now this Purdue team and the Tennessee game. As a journalist and also a Tennessee fan, bro, did Edie not just, like, throw a pitch a tent in the middle of the lane and sit there for 9 seconds on every damn possession, and they never called a 3 seconds once in that ball game? And how did he shoot 22 free throws and the whole Tennessee Vols only shot 11?
I mean, Zach Edie and Purdue didn't do anything different than what they've done all year. They weren't officiated any differently than they have been all year.
Like, why is he allowed to camp out in the middle of the lane?
Look, I mean, it's just, when do you see 3 seconds called anywhere?
Seen it
called
once
basketball?
In the whole tournament.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something that's really called ever in college basketball anymore. So I just don't know if you're a Tennessee fan or whatever, why you expected that to be the game where all of a sudden Zach Edey was called differently than he had been for the entire season. And to me, it's like you have to come up with a way to stop it, because if you're looking for the officials to help you out, they're not going to. And, you know, I mean, yeah, I thought there were a couple instances where Zach Edey should have been called for fouls, but I didn't feel like the fouls that were called against Tennessee were preposterous. I mean, they were just doing their best with him. And if you go and look at the splits, this has been the case for Purdue all season. They rank among the nation's top teams in the amount of free throws that they shoot. And then their opponents rank among the lowest in terms of free throws attempted. They get to the free throw line, and their opponents don't. That's been the formula for Purdue all season long, and it was the formula for them again on Sunday. So I understand the frustration for Tennessee fans. Going up against Zach Edey is maddening. And I, like I said, I thought there were a couple instances where he could have been called for fouls that he wasn't, especially there in the first half. I mean, he just discarded, I forget who it was, but one of these Tennessee guys with an elbow to the neck while going for a rebound. And that should have been a foul on Zach Edey. But by and large, nothing about that was new. I mean, it's the way he's been called all year long. It's kind of, you know, if they called it any other way against him, I mean, he wouldn't be the two-time National Player of the Year now. So that's the problem with going up against Zach Edey. He's hard to officiate. He's hard to defend. And you shouldn't be surprised by either of those things when you end up, you know, against them in a matchup.
Well, one thing that I was surprised of this weekend, and I mean, I was thoroughly surprised, Illinois, number one offense in the country. I mean, I played UConn, but like with a little, like a touch, and I was scared to death to take UConn because I'm like, man, I kept looking at their schedule, who they'd beat in the tournament, and I'm like, man, Illinois is a different animal. They just went up against Iowa State, and then UConn, like, went on a 30-0 run and made Illinois look like the Sisters of the Poor.
Yeah, that was unbelievable. That was incredible. I think UConn is as dominant of a team right now as I've seen in college basketball in my lifetime. The way they can do that it's unreal. And they're just the epitome of a team too, because there's actually not a first team All-American on that roster. I mean, Tristan Newton and Donovan Klingon are both fringe All-Americans, but it's
Klingon's a damn
line.
Handful, man.
Well, and he's the one guy in college basketball who might be able to really bother Zach Edey. So that's, of course, the intrigue in this Final Four is, do we get that matchup? And if so, how does it go? I mean, he was nasty against Illinois defensively. So just totally dominant. And now you see why against Illinois, Donovan Klingon is being discussed as a lottery pick, even though he doesn't have that perimeter shot. As a 7'2" guy, even though he's probably pretty limited in where he can score and maybe a little bit vulnerable in the pick and roll. I mean, when you can recover the way he can and you can protect the rim the way he can, there's a spot for you in the league. Mm-hmm. So, and that's the difference between him and Edey is for
footwork.
His size, Zach Edey really doesn't block a whole lot of shots, and he's not quite as mobile out near the perimeter as Donovan Klingon is, which is going to hurt him in the NBA when he gets put in the pick and roll. So, you know, Donovan Klingon versus Zach Edey might be the all-time great national title matchup of 7-footers.
Yeah, Klingon, I mean, he had five blocks the other night, and the one he had on Terrence Shannon was so nasty. I was just like, it was like go-go gadget arms. He did everything. Shannon even went far out with his left, and Klingon still just swatted that junt. I think he's nasty. And then the guard play of UConn versus the guard play, like you talk about Newton and Braden Smith, I kind of got to give the edge to UConn. The way that UConn is playing, like, do you think anybody, I mean, do you think Purdue can even stop them?
I mean, Purdue will have a chance in that game for sure, but I think
that. UConn's what? Let's just take a guess. Would you put them around a 6-point favorite?
Yeah, I was going to say 5.5. UConn's just more talented. Like, Purdue's really good, but you look at Stephon Castle, for example, potential lottery pick.
Yep.
Donovan Klingon, potential lottery pick. Cam Spencer is a sort of outside shooter threat that
can get Purdue to the rack, too.
He can, and Purdue has good shooters, but they don't have that sort of electric, combustible sort of perimeter threat. Tristan Newton's very dynamic as a guard, and then, I mean, Alex Caravan might be eventually a draft pick himself. I mean, he's 6'8", he shoots the three ball, he defends relatively well, so UConn has more talent than Purdue.
I have to say, I totally agree. But yeah, it was just crazy how bad they just dismantled the Huskies. But man, got to go to that Clemson-Alabama game. Bro, Alabama, and you got to give Nate Oates. I couldn't even believe this when I saw this. So Nate Oates was coaching high school 11 years ago, like, and teaching math and selling Flamin' Hot Cheetos and Capri Suns to raise money for his basketball team.
Yeah, actually, funny you bring that up. I stopped by Romulus High School on my way to the Detroit airport yesterday.
Did you really?
Yeah. I mean, it's like literally next to the airport. So, yeah, I talked to one of the guys who was on the search committee for the Nate Oates hire. So, anyway, that's one of the stories I'm kind of working on.
Ooh,
but
do we know when this bad boy is going to be dropping, or is this going to be a little bit?
We'll see. It's one of those where it's like you don't want to make any promises because then they'll push it or something. But, it's crazy, man. And the crazy thing is that, you know, it was actually Bobby Hurley, who's now the coach at Arizona State, who discovered Nate Oates because he was recruiting a player that was on Nate Oates' high school team. He goes to Detroit to, you know, look at this kid, and he's like, wow, this coach is really smart. And now in Phoenix, right around the corner from where Bobby Hurley coaches right now, it'll be the coach that he discovered, Nate Oates, against
his brother. In Glendale, Arizona, against his brother. That is wild. I did not know any of this.
Yeah, so talk about stories and stuff. That's a good one. Danny Hurley, the UConn Hurley, he was a high school coach, too. And
for a while.
So you get all of those elements of it. And, I mean, Kevin Keats as well was a high school coach in the not-too-distant past and kind of cut his teeth and made his name in the prep school ranks. So not exactly, your Bolton High School or whatever, but, you know, still sort of that prep school level. And, it just goes to show you can find good coaches at a lot of different levels. And that'll definitely be one of the storylines of this Final Four.
You know, we don't get a lot of people don't talk about Kevin Keats, but I really like him. He's always smiling. He's positive. I like him. The one thing, though, that I was reminded, when they called that damn tech on Keats in that game, like against Duke, I was about to lose my mind. Do you remember that when he just kind of came a few feet out of the box?
Well, so I was in the media room in Detroit. I had a TV on with the game. I was trying to finish up this, like, you know, Zach Edey versus Dalton Connect story while watching, keeping an eye on the game. I didn't see it, but yeah.
Yeah, I just remember, like, if that changes the momentum in this game, I mean, like, Keats. It wasn't even, like, I don't know. I was just very, I was like, man, the officials have lost their damn mind calling the damn technical foul and not giving them two free throws, trying to get Duke back in that joint. I felt like that was some Duke cooking.
Well, I mean, yeah, NC State to beat Duke, man. wow. I mean, to win the season series against a team that's, you know, always overshadowed them in that state. The fact that it was
to beat them
North Carolina.
Like, who yeah. Did they beat them in the – didn't they beat them also in the ACC tournament?
Yeah, they did, because so Duke one at NC State on NC State's senior day. And at that point, you're just like, okay, I mean, is Kevin Keats going to get fired? This was not a good year. And now here they are having won 9 straight elimination games. It's just preposterous. It's incredible. And now he's probably set for the next several years there because it's really not going to matter what happens. He's going to be okay because of this run. He's bought himself some time, bought himself new life, and incredible. I mean, it's just one of the wildest things, you know, that you could have ever come up with going into this NCAA tournament.
Man, that is absolutely there's just some wild stuff going on. Now, so basically, just to make sure I got this right before I let you go, we're looking at both favorites in the first, you know, the Final Four, NC State, Purdue, laying the 8.5, taking Purdue, and we're laying the 11.5 and taking UConn.
Yeah, that's kind of my approach on it. Yep.
All right, I'm with you. Oh, what other thing about Alabama? Dude, Grant Nelson and his mustache, bro. Where did this come from? I saw him play earlier this year, and I thought he was terrible.
Yeah, it came from Devil's Lake, North Dakota. It was funny. Grant Nelson generated a ton of buzz on the portal market last year because he was a late entry. And so because he was sort of out there on an island when not a whole lot of other guys were entering the portal, it sort of gave him some leverage and some publicity that he maybe didn't deserve as a sub 30% three-point shooter in the Summit League, you know. But it's like, oh, he's 6'10", and he's hit a few threes in his career, so let's, you know, make him the hot thing in this portal cycle. And he's been super up and down, and that's honestly still been the case as of late because he was awesome against North Carolina, but then struggled a little bit against Clemson, and that's sort of been the story of his whole season.
Man, oh, and one other thing I want to ask you. What did you think about the SMU hire of Andy Enfield?
I mean, okay, doesn't overwhelm me. I thought Will Wade would have been a better hire for SMU in terms of that having success. I mean, Andy Enfield's okay, but he's just okay. He's not somebody I would consider among the top 30 coaches in college basketball.
All right, what are you working on? I know you're working on one story with it has to do with Nate Oates and his coaching roots. What else you got coming down the pipe?
That's pretty much the big one. I mean, it'll be a little bit of contributions on the Final Four, but the transfer rankings are probably the thing that'll be of the most interest to Memphis folks right now. You know, Penny's working the portal. I've already got a top 50 transfers up. That's going to continue to evolve, probably continue to grow.
Oh, you just also dropped. You also just dropped an article about Zach Edey's tribute to Gene Cady.
I did. So, yeah, it's a busy time.
Man, get back to work, brother. I appreciate your time. Enjoy spending some time and get out on that golf course, my friend.
All right, dude. Appreciate it.
That is David Cobb, CBSSports.com. Got to remind you, David's cool. I'm cool. We're all cool.
I'm cool.
Cool?
John, I'm cool.
Well, see, I need you to go to
You weren't going
to
put me in there.
I wasn't because you're wearing a dead-gum hockey jersey.
That's fire, though. But you're right, John. I'm not going to lie. I'm glad you bring this up.
But you're wearing a hockey jersey with a Chicks hat on.
Fire, isn't it? I'm glad you bring this up, though, because I do need to go by Frontier Western. I'm going to a country concert this weekend.
Who is it?
And Charlie Crockett. He's in town Friday night. I'm going to it, and I need to get my wardrobe right.
Man, get it right. You can get your wardrobe right. All you have to do is 5880 Goodman Road down in Olive Branch. I'm telling you, they have everything. Dress you head to toe. They have all the largest boot showroom in the world. They have all the jeans. They have all the spring and fall fashions in their ladies boutique. They got a children's department. You can also just shop online at frontierwesternstore.com. Check them out. They're family owned and operated since 1967. Back in two shakes. We got Hardenwood because it feels so good. We're still going to talk a little bit of a college basketball, some MLB, and we have bets. Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
We are real sports talk. Sports 56, WHBQ. Available on your radio dial at 560 AM and 98.5 FM, as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, stay tuned in to Real Sports Talk. Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hanging out with Brian Dacus. We just talked with David Cobb of CBSSports.com. Talked all things college hoops. Talked about Bama and Nate Oates and his unbelievable run. Matt Painter, Zach Edey and Purdue. NC State, DJ Horn, DJ Burns, Keats. We broke it all down. But now we got to switch gears. 12 o'clock coming up here soon. Just in a little bit. It's 12 o'clock in about 5 minutes. We're going to start talking. We're going to talk about, you know, a little NBA action with my man Zach Boyd. See what's going on in the world of the National Basketball Association. I will say I find it fascinating right now. Joel Embiid's coming back.
And could play tonight. I haven't seen any updates.
Could play tonight.
Yeah. They need him. They're in the
way. If he comes back. Listen, I'm a Miami Heat fan, kind of. Like, not like a fan band, but I like them. I like the Heat. I like Jimmy Buckets. I like Spo. I like the Don, you know what I mean? Like, I just like the way that they operate. And I love Miami, you know what I mean? Who doesn't? By the way, Miami, man, we got P. Diddy in Miami along with Cuba Gooding Jr. If you want to wonder why that's weird, just wait for Hardenwood and you'll understand. But back to Joel Embiid. The first round in the play-in game, it could be Heat and the 76ers. And guess what? The winner would play the Milwaukee Bucks. Could you imagine if the 76ers play the Bucks and their old coach Doc Rivers in the first round of the playoffs? That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. That'd be fun.
And let's be real. Has this Bucks team gotten any better, really? They've been hovering around a little better than 500 since they picked him up. It's not like they're doing better than they did with Adrian Griffin. Their defense is a little bit better. I'll give you that. I don't know. How awesome would that be if Rivers takes over the Bucks and then his former team puts him out in their first round? I don't know. I would just love that. We'll talk a little NBA on the other side. We're also going to give away some tickets. I got tickets. Not tickets. I keep saying tickets. I'm going to give you a code. And then you go online, bing, bang, boom, and you get your own Blu-ray DVD. From A24 and Lionsgate, it's the Iron Claw. It's an unbelievable true story of the Von Erich brothers who built a wrestling dynasty. It's got Zac Efron and Jeremy Allen White. We're going to give away that on the other side. Wing tickets for the World Wing Fest, the 22nd annual World Wing competition and festival. So we got a lot to do on the other side. Don't you dare touch the dial. Be back in 2 shakes. Sports 56, 98.5 FM.